So do you think people will be able to hear how bad my breath smells?
No.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
And this week we got some sequel news.
Mmm.
Television will get intense.
Delicious.
Blu-ray releases. And more.
Ooh, okay. Did you have a chance to see Ant-Man again?
No, I did not. Like we were talking about earlier, I ended up taking apart a camera lens. And I thought it was going to be like an hour fix. And 5 hours later, it was 11 o'clock. And I didn't get to go to the drive-in. But that's okay. They were all movies I've seen. So I didn't feel too bad, but I will probably go see it again this week. I'll be in Indianapolis for a couple days, so I might go see it there.
Oh, wow. This is rare. Usually I'm the one that's lagging behind with these rewatching, so I guess I'm helping the Ant-Man box office a little bit.
So you've seen it twice.
Yeah, I had a chance to see it this weekend with our show guest from episode 10, Quentin Parker. So we had a pretty good time. I mean, I was specifically looking for those Easter eggs that we talked about in our spoiler cast, and I won't add any spoilers here, but there is a kind of a silhouette that you're supposed to be looking for in a certain part of the movie.
And it was confirmed. You told me it was confirmed on a Screen Junkies interview.
Yeah, it is definitely confirmed. The director says that there is an intentional silhouette in this part of the movie. And man, I leaned forward in my seat. I was trying to spot it, and there's two parts it might be in. I think it could possibly be in the reflection of his helmet there for a second, or it could possibly be just on this, just another part of this area. I don't know. It's super hard to pick out. We're definitely going to have to wait for the Blu-ray release to pick it out, because it is not even like a full second. It is like a couple frames of the film, but I think there's something there.
So, I mean, I love owning the movies. They look good on my shelf. I'm running out of shelf space, actually.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think the Ant-Man will release so we can actually, you know, frame by frame analyze this?
Oh, man. It's definitely going to be sometime this year.
So within the calendar year. You're betting within calendar year.
Yep, that's my guess.
I'm going to go with November digital, and then I'm going to go with December physical.
Something tells me that you might be right. I like this, though, that they're releasing these movies first on digital. Like, it's kind of crazy to see.
Do you buy the physical, or do you just buy digital?
Man, it's so weird right now, because the I guess the one good thing that the physical landscape has going for it is you know it's there, and you can go to different stores, and you're always going to pretty much get the same DVD. But with digital, you never really know where you want to buy it from, because you're keeping your library scattered depending on where you buy it. You know, if you buy it on iTunes, you're going to have it in your iTunes software. If you buy it from Amazon, you have to go into your Amazon Prime account, I believe, or go and log into an Amazon account to watch it. You know, I feel like the digital space is still kind of scattered. I kind of wish there was almost like a third-party software that was able to lump it all together. I know there's things like Plex, but you actually have to have the physical file. And then sometimes you have to, like, name it a specific way, but I still like that it comes out early on digital.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I tell you, I like the physical because it comes with the digital, so I usually wait that first month and watch it through other means. Cough, cough. I actually had this conundrum last night. Because you get Disney movies, they go with Disney Movies Anywhere, which is, like, their online service. Then you have iTunes movies. Then you have Vudu, like, or Flixster or whatever, you know. There's multiple services. Well, I found out that Vudu and I guess it's Disney/iTunes have collaborated, so you can now watch those movies on Vudu.
Oh, geez.
And back and forth. So it's starting to conglomerate like that, but I mean, it's still not perfect.
Yeah, the thing is, like, Vudu has, like, no name recognition with me. I mean, for the longest time, I just thought it was just some bizarre, like, kind of new-age digital movie place that I was like, oh, this place is going to be out of business in a couple years because no one knows what it is. Like, if it's backed, if it's being backed by, like, Disney and stuff, they need to somehow, like, put that under the name or, like, take or buy it out and change the name or something.
Well, because it's actually owned by Walmart, and any movie you buy at Walmart comes with a Vudu copy.
Man, I mean, that's cool, but, like, I still don't like the idea of building up a collection and then being on one service and then the service just goes bankrupt or something. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's just kind of weird because you kind of have the same problem back in the day with VHSs. You don't want to build up a VHS collection and then all of a sudden they become obsolete. Maybe there's just no way we can get over this hump of possible obsolescence of your collection.
Yeah, I actually had a Target had a thing go belly up, one of their online access ones.
Ah, see, exactly.
but they sent me credit to Vudu.
Oh.
And said you can buy your movie on Vudu all you want.
No, and, I guess that's nice.
And again, it kind of alleviated that concern.
Uh-huh.
Because it was Captain America. It was actually The Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's like a $30 movie. And I'm like, well, I mean, I can't watch anywhere else. But I was able to buy it on Disney and Vudu, so I can now access them both. Which is great, because then I don't actually have to get up and put the movie in from my thing into my Xbox, because I'm lazy as fuck.
Yeah, man, it's 2015. We shouldn't have to get off our couches if we don't want to.
Yeah, fuck that noise. I want to watch it. I want to control my iPad for my TV or something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. Well, shit, son. Let's get into this news.
Yeah, what do we got going here? I heard it was a little bit of a lighter week, but maybe we kind of picked up towards the end.
Yeah, I think there's more topics, but less substance.
No, okay.
What's that word we used for like 2 weeks ago or last week? And, you know, thick? Meaty. It's not meaty. Yeah, it's not a meaty podcast, but it still will fill you up if you know what, like, I mean.
Yeah, I think I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Oh, good. So, first up, James Bond, Spectre, had a new trailer come out this week.
Yes, it did.
You can find that trailer in our show notes. You know, I'm not much of a professed James Bond person. I've seen, like, the first four and then the last four. I think the first one I ever saw was Casino Royale.
Uh-huh.
And, but I'm not much of a fan. What do you think of it?
Well, I mean, we're very much a generation of Pierce Brosnan. So we kind of grew up with a Bond that I think a lot of diehard fans don't particularly like. You know, that's kind of what I've heard, that Pierce Brosnan, you know, is kind of one of the worst Bonds. I don't know if that's really the consensus, but I've heard it before, so it's obviously someone's opinion out there. So, you know, that's the Bond I grew up with, and, you know, Bond movies were always fun to watch, but I've never connected to them as strongly as I had to other things. But they're definitely enjoyable. But this new trailer kind of seems like more of the same. You know, we kind of get the same tone. We get to see... who's the guy playing the villain? Christopher Waltz.
Yeah. Everyone's been speculating he's Blofeld from the original Bond films, but
uh-huh.
We saw in this one he actually doesn't have the scar over his eye, so it's kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah, but if they're kind of going with this angle of like origin Bond, maybe Bond scars up his face. That would be kind of cool. But we actually had before we kind of jump into the trailer a little bit, we had a listener of the show. Robbie kind of wrote in with a theory he has for Bond, which I thought we should read because we don't really our opinions on Bond are kind of are lackluster. So I talked to him and he's a really big fan. So he said the idea with Spectre is all of the richest people in the world get together to try to take over the world through different plans, and he thinks that this film is kind of setting up a James Bond cinematic universe, which is kind of funny when you think about it because you feel like there's already been a Bond universe, but this is kind of the first attempt they've done to string movies together, which always was kind of a hard sell for me when I was younger watching these movies. I just never understood how they were connected, and there's always different Bonds, so there was never really much weight to what was happening, but now they're kind of creating this universe. So basically he thinks that like each Bond movie following is going to have like a specific villain that's part of this organization, Spectre. So I think he thinks Christopher, if I remember right, he thinks Christopher Waltz is kind of like the architect of the whole thing.
Okay, so I mean, I've it's always been my understanding, you know, James Bond's one of those things where you can tell a story with any character, like kind of like comic books, they can recast,
uh-huh.
And it's still the same guy. So I mean, since what's his face, I can't even think of the main guy who's in it now, Daniel Craig has joined.
See, yeah, this just shows you how attached you are to these Bond films. We can't remember half the actors' names,
right?
But they're fun. We have good time watching it.
We don't hate at all. So since Daniel Craig has joined, I guess the films have seemed more connected to me the last mm-hmm. four, and I can see that going forward. But do you think Daniel Craig will? How many more movies do you think he has in him?
Man, I don't know. I think he's a good Bond for sure. I think he would be kind of. dumb. I don't think anyone's going to typecast him, so I don't think he has to worry about that. But, yeah, I don't see him making, like, a 20-year-long career out of Bond. I think they might get three more movies out of him. So we'll get this movie coming up and then two more, and then he'll be done. So that'd be a total of six, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just thinking back here. I actually pulled up some James Bond information while you were talking.
Okay.
Roger Moore did seven movies over 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's like back when movies were doing like one a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of people, again, depending on what you're, like, his got really, really campy towards the end.
Yeah.
Like, so self-referential. Like, when we think of, like, Austin Powers and the parodies of James Bond, like, they pulled from Roger Moore films. So, I mean, I just don't want to see this, you know, delve into
parody.
Parody, or you know, something that's become insistent upon itself.
You're saying that you don't want to see jetpacks.
I don't want to see jetpacks or moon lasers or whatever have you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of his films was named Octopussy, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like James Bond. I'm glad he's still getting movies, and they have a lot of material to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm excited for this. I like Skyfall. I think that Sam Mendes and Daniel Craig will make another good James Bond film.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since it seems like this one's coming off, hot off the heels of Skyfall's story.
Yeah, and I mean, spy movies are always fun. You know, I like the gadgets, you know. I like the drama, the intensity of not getting caught. So all that stuff's kind of fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
Thanks for writing in, Robbie. This is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we like it when people write down stuff. Actually, you know what? I go back to Ant-Man. What did Quentin think of it? Did he give you his opinion?
Oh, yeah, he definitely liked it. He also agreed that Michael Peña is the real star of the movie. Like every time he popped up on screen, we just kind of like perked up in our chairs a little bit. We're just like, "Oh yeah. This is the cheer of the movie." So
nice.
Yeah, man.
We like hearing what you guys think, so don't forget to write us in. If you got thoughts on James Bond or more information, rank your James Bonds for us, actually. How about that?
Yeah, top three. I would like to know what everybody's top three James Bond films are, because I think I would like to go back and watch a couple of them. I don't care if they're campy at all. Maybe if they are campy, prepare me before I watch it. But yeah, I'd like to know people's top three.
Yeah, looking at this quick list here, I'm going to give you what culture thinks. Number three best James Bond for them is Pierce Brosnan, actually.
Ooh.
Followed by Daniel Craig. And number one is Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Sean Connery. So, if you guys have different rankings on your Bonds, let us know. Like, we're kind of clueless to that, and we want to know more.
Yeah, or drop some films, Bond films we need to watch. We've obviously seen the newer ones, but there's like what? There's over 20 of them, right?
Oh, there are quite a few. I mean, Roger Moore, like I said, did seven or eight of them himself.
Yeah. Isn't there like a random unlicensed one or something that's technically not a James Bond movie?
Yeah, there's actually a couple. They're called Eon was the producer, or the company that makes all the James Bond films.
Uh-huh.
The non-Eon films, there was a Casino Royale from 1967,
uh-huh.
Which is very different than the one we saw, you know, in 2006. And then Never Say Never Again, which actually brought Sean Connery back into the James Bond role, but technically it was not a James Bond film.
Uh-huh.
So it's definitely interesting. Once you look at the history of it, it's definitely, definitely interesting.
Yeah. Either way, that's some pretty crazy cinematic puzzle pieces there.
Yeah. So we're going to jump into the next topic here, Jurassic World 2.
Ooh, what do you got?
They've announced that it's going to exist. We kind of talked about it before, but they gave us a release date for this film.
Mm-hmm.
June 22nd, 2018. So 3 years later.
What superhero movies do they have to compete with in 2018?
2018. That is a good question. I will pull that up. But I will, while I'm doing that, we want to talk about the cast members coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So what we know about Jurassic World 2 is Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard will be returning.
Okay.
So that's great. They got them back. We kind of only had one character return for The Lost World.
Mm-hmm.
And then one more character return for, you know, Jurassic Park 3. So
yeah.
this seems more like a better sequel.
Yeah, I mean, it really makes sense, honestly, because, I mean, you got a very strong sense that they were kind of going to be joined at the hip towards the end of the film. You know, they kind of walked off into the sunset holding hands, you know. Technically, actually, I don't remember if they're actually holding hands, but that's what it felt like. So, I definitely think it'll be a stronger sequel. I mean, this might be the first Jurassic you know, sequel that we get that's actually strongly connected to the previous film.
Right.
You know, not with years in between or just random scenarios or mishaps or happening. So this could be kind of cool. I'd like to see where it goes. I think they're going to have an uphill battle trying to write a script, trying to make an interesting story, because I just feel like they're going to go with this military angle where they have to, like, stop this, like, these people producing, like, military dinosaurs.
It's always engine. Engine always fucks shit up.
Yeah, and I just feel like it's going to be some sort of, like, infiltration action movie to rescue the dinosaurs, but it's like, well, that's kind of a little bit of Jurassic Park 2, so I feel like they're gonna struggle trying to make something unique here that's not goofy as fuck.
Well, that, you bring up the next point. Colin Trevorrow, the director, and Derek Connolly, who wrote, you know, helped write the first one, are writing the second one as well.
No, oh, so it sounds like it's very much gonna be a sequel.
Very much related to that. And in 2018, just to confirm here, they have Infinity War Part 1, The Flash, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Kingsman 2, a Spider-Man animated film, and another Transformers movie.
Jesus. That is going to work. That year is going to be crazy.
Yeah, and that's just what we have right now. I think there's another DC movie in there, but I mean, that's just what I could pull up just by looking.
Man. Good luck, Jurassic World. But I mean, they broke records with the first one, so I don't think they're going to be too worried. Man, now I'm really looking forward to 2018. Holy crap.
Yeah, we got a long way to go from that.
Eat your vegetables, kid. You don't want to keel over before 2018 rolls around.
Oh, also Aquaman and another X-Men movie.
Another X-Men movie.
Yeah, so it's three. I mean, they do this about every 2 years now, so it'll be time for post-apocalypse X-Men, maybe Fantastic Four crossover.
You know, I think this is a good thing. I kind of wanted to jump into real quick. I was listening to some podcasts where they were talking about Ant-Man, and someone brought up a specific terminology that I haven't heard before. It's not so much an affectionate term towards superhero movies, but, you know, it's not really bashing them. Someone was saying that, you know, we're getting like two Marvel movies a year now, and soon we're going to be getting three a year, and they said we're in it for the long haul. And that's kind of the first time I heard someone kind of mention that we're kind of in the middle of it. We're in the thick of this Marvel Universe and these superhero movies that are coming out. And I think this is the first time franchises have ever been publicly slated for so far into the future, a.k.a. the superhero slate.
Oh, God, that hurt.
I mean, these movies are planned out for years. I mean, there's some people that are listening right now that, you know, they could have their college degrees by the time these movies are kind of wrapping up. There's people that could have kids, that could have newborn babies by the time this thing is wrapping up. There's people that are going to be totally different places in their lives by the time these superhero phases kind of start to fizzle out. It's just kind of the first time I ever really thought about it. You know, is this kind of the first sign of like superhero fatigue, or is this just a strong message to these studios that they really got to start coming up with something that's original? Because the last thing I want to do is have these franchises go out with a whimper, you know, of just people like, oh, it's just the same shit that they did years ago, you know?
I don't think there's fatigue. I think, I mean, that's a saying we're in it for the long haul is, I mean, I don't think that's a sign of fatigue. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're at the entire, almost all of DC's phase one, so to speak, fits within Marvel's phase three, if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, DC's got a long ways to go. I think they're in it for the long haul because they're starting off picking franchises.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to go through their phase two and their phase three of their stuff. And who knows what Marvel has. I mean, we think in terms of threes because trilogies, right?
Yeah.
And I think Marvel's just like, here's one step at a time. Here's the characters we want to tell stories with and so forth. And I think, you know, they're becoming different beasts. You know, look at Ant-Man. It was a heist film, right?
Yeah.
Winter Soldier was a, you know, political thriller. Guardians was like a Dirty Dozen kind of thing. I think they're starting to become their own rather than just seeing Iron Man 1 over and over again, or like, you know, Batman over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're growing up.
Yeah, I mean, it does make me a little worried, though, because with these superhero films, we are specifically pulling from two different publishers, just Marvel and DC. You know, I think we'll start to get more of those fringe comics, you know, like Kingsman and stuff, which is really, really great. But, this can't go on forever. So I'm just hoping that these studios almost just, like, sit down for dinner one night, the big wigs, and are just like, all right, let's wrap this up around, like, 2025. We'll let these superheroes rest for a decade, for a couple of years. Let them breathe a little bit. Let people enjoy what we made over these dozen of years.
The studio head honchos are like, we want more money. And when do we want it? Now. So they'll probably milk them dry and then reboot them again later.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well. Either way. Some new stuff coming on the horizon. We're going to talk about Gotham Season 2.
Oh, Gotham. Okay.
We don't really talk about it too much. We haven't really talked about it hardly at all since Alan was on the show in episode 20. Damn, we're on 28 already. That's quite the run. Gotham Season 2 added Michael Chiklis as a series regular.
Oh, I think that's a good addition.
I thought he was going to be Mr. Freeze. He's got the Mr. Freeze bald look, you know. But apparently he's going to be someone called Captain Barnes.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know who that is. But that, and along with someone, they confirmed that someone, Monaghan, we talked about him earlier, who was the Joker in Season 1, will be the Joker in Season 2. We'll see more of that in Season 2. So, Joker and Captain Barnes. And, also, there's two previews out. One's for the shows like The Batcave as something coming. So we're gonna get more Batman actually. Like,
so it's Kid another. Batman. Oh, it's gonna be another show. Do you think it's gonna have like that same actor who plays the kid in Gotham?
No, it is Gotham. It's actually the same show. It's a teaser for the Season 2.
Oh, that we're gonna see the Batcave in Gotham. Oh, gotcha. I was like, we're getting a Batman show?
No, yeah, we're not excited. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
We got two teasers. There's no official trailer for Season 2, but there are two teasers, and the links are in the show notes. I'll make sure those are in there before the post goes live, but, I mean, you can click them and watch them to see kind of what's coming ahead there in Season 2 of Gotham.
Man, it's kind of one of those good problems where we're getting superhero shows that, you know, are going that full run of, like, 20-plus episodes, but then at the same time, it's just like, once you, like, miss a season, you got so much groundwork to pick back up on. I mean, like, by the time Season 2, like, starts, we're already going to be, like, 20-plus episodes behind. It's going to be all over the place.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not much of a Gotham person. I don't know if I'll ever watch Gotham. I will definitely read the recaps, but I will probably just read the recaps and leave it at that. So...
Well, I mean, it's good. Any sort of success for superhero TV show is good for everything else. So you don't have to watch it to like it. It's kind of one of those things.
Right. That kind of brings us to our next point, things we really like to watch on TV. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh, yeah.
There's a video. I don't have the link to it, but Chloe Bennett is actually cutting her hair short to look like Daisy Johnson from the comics.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a big move for an actor to cut their hair, really. That kind of puts them in, like, one role unless they start wearing wigs or hair extension.
Yeah, it's just like a Jon Snow watch right now for Game of Thrones, which I don't think you're caught up on Game of Thrones, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're specifically watching the actor who plays Jon Snow.
I know. It's all over the place. Like,
yeah, no spoilers, though. We won't spoil the show if you're not caught up, but they're looking at his hair out in the public for very specific
anywhere reasons. They got a GPS tracker on Kit Harington, like... They are trying to figure out what's going on with him.
I have a feeling they do that with everybody on the show now, though. They probably have details like, you watch anything that makes it look like they changed their appearance.
I don't think so. I think it's just him. I honestly think it's just him, because that's the most links I see during the week when I'm looking for news, is just, you know, Jon Snow, because he knows nothing, and we know everything.
I bet JonSnowsHair.com exists, but I'm not going to go to the
effort. Oh, my God. I'm going to look it up while we talk about this next thing.
Oh, what are we talking about next, man?
So the next part is Daredevil Season 2.
Ooh, I love hearing about Daredevil Season 2, man.
Yeah, don't we all? So a couple things. We talked about, I think, we didn't do quite a spoiler cast, did we, for Daredevil?
Well, we kind of touched on it at the end of one of our episodes, kind of the things that we liked. But yeah, no official spoiler cast for Daredevil yet.
So there's a character in one of the episodes called Melvin Potter. He makes,
refresh my memory.
He makes the official outfit costume for Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah.
Okay, he made Daredevil's, you know, special suit that makes him impenetrable to blades or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he also goes by name in the comics called Gladiator.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So in Twitter, there was a tease that, you know, he's coming back. His initials MP on a saw blade. And the Gladiator, he has saw blades on his wrists.
Oh.
On his costume. So it definitely says, you know, we're going to get more Melvin Potter in season two.
That'll be kind of cool. I like that idea.
Fun fact, he was also in All Hail the King, the Marvel one-shot with the Mandarin.
Oh, yeah.
As, like, a prisoner. And I think his name was David in there, though. But, I was just, I mean, I think it's fun Marvel recast all the characters. We talked about a little bit in Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
The Love Interest, Agent Sousa, was actually in Avengers as one of the police officers when Captain America jumps on the car. He's like, we need this blocked on 33rd Street and so forth and whatnot, and I'm Captain America.
America.
So, yeah. So, Daredevil Season 2 is shaping up. I mean, it's filming. We get Elektra. We get Punisher. We are getting the Gladiator. I mean, hopefully Mysterio by the end. I'm ready for it.
Uh-huh.
I'm ready for Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. But speaking of All Hail the King, when I was rewatching Ant-Man, I was able to spot that guy's rings tattoo. For the Mandarin on his neck. So that's definitely in the movie. I looked out for that.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, there was a prison. I don't think it's the same prison that the King or the Mandarin was in, but I feel like there's a prison connection somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh well. So we talked last week about Guardians of the Galaxy, the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
The first promo came up. It's about 30 seconds long.
Animated TV series, that is.
Yeah, animated TV series. And it, you know, it's fun. It's kind of action packed. I don't know if I'm going to watch it wholeheartedly, but
well, more than likely, it'll probably only run two seasons, and they'll replace it with something else.
It's true. I mean, I don't know. Avengers and Spider-Man are going on three, and they're pretty strong.
I think with any history we can tell, it doesn't matter if it's going strong.
Well, I mean, I think honestly, I really like the Ultimate Spider-Man TV series.
Uh-huh.
That's actually a really good one. I haven't watched the Avengers, but it tied into the movie a lot, like Guardians looks like it's tied into the movie.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's not canon, but it's picking up where the movie kind of left off.
Uh-huh.
So if that's, I mean, again, no indication, but kind of an indication, you know, maybe kids will tune in and check it out, and they'll keep it going.
Yeah, I think I'll try to watch it. I'll try to catch up on it. Hopefully, it's one of the shows that they'll put up on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. Disney seems to have a pretty good connection with Netflix. They like to put stuff up there.
Mm-hmm.
So especially their, I don't think the Marvel movies are on there right now, though.
They seem to. I think they kind of rotate them in and out depending on when a new release is coming out. Because I think they assume people will get hype about a new movie coming out and go out and buy the Blu-ray. If they can just stream it, they won't open up their wallets.
Yeah, and their TV shows are on there pretty strong, though.
Mm-hmm.
But movies seem to be hit and miss. Oh, well. Movies brings us to the next point. We were talking about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers Age of Ultron has a Blu-ray trailer and release date, along with special features confirmed.
Ooh, cool.
It will be releasing October 2nd on physical, September 8th on digital.
Oh, wow. So they're kind of... they're doing the same thing where we get the digital about a month early, huh?
Yes, definitely. And that's kind of what I was getting at earlier, at, where I was like, didn't want to allude to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a trailer for it. It's no new footage. The special features, again, confirm no director's cut.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're going to get some director's commentary with Joss Whedon, so that's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I really want to. Yep. That's what I would purchase this for.
The gag reel, you know, everyone loves those. Deleted and extended scenes with more commentary. Commentary on the deleted and extended scenes.
Oh, good.
That's rare. I like to see that. A making of from the internet. But what's most highlighted here is a section called the Infinite Six.
Yeah, I just saw that.
So on the trailer, it actually shows the gauntlet from the end of the movie with mm-hmm. Thanos' hand in it, and it's got all the gems in the gauntlet. And it actually names off the four stones we've seen so far. The Reality Stone, the Mind Stone, the Space Stone, and the Power Stone.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually gave them names in the trailer. So I'm really interested to see what this Infinite Six section is
mm-hmm.
and what that teases for Phase 3 forward.
Yeah.
Because we got two stones. We don't know where they're going to come up. We don't know who's got them. I'm interested. I want to see more information about where that's going to go.
Yeah, wasn't it kind of nice not getting an Infinity Stone in the Ant-Man movie?
Yeah, I think we had what, two in a row between Guardians and Avengers. So I'm kind of glad they go back to the smaller scale. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've got several films before Infinity War kicks off. I think five. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they're not as large.
Yeah.
I mean, we gotta have two more stones. I don't know where they're gonna pop up. We could talk about that all day.
Yeah.
So Avengers Age of Ultron, September 8th digital, October 2nd Blu-ray. Fun note, if you're looking to get the cheapest price on this, on these movies,
Why wouldn't we?
Get them the first week they come out. Every place, especially Target, has them for like $10 to $15 off.
Ooh, that's a good deal.
So if you get a pick one there, Best Buy does the same. They usually do steelbooks. Mm-hmm. What's funny about this thing is there's a red case version of this Blu-ray apparently available.
Oh.
And I only have one other Blu-ray that's not in a blue case.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Incredible Hulk. It's in a green case.
Oh, huh.
So I'm interested to see if that red one is. I kind of want to get the red one.
Yeah. I think what I would like to know from our listeners, let us know how you guys like to collect your movies. You know, are you like Chris, where you like to own them all physically so you can kind of complete your master collection? Are you like pure digital? Are you just like me where you kind of just watch it whenever you can? You're just kind of all over the place. Yeah, I'd like to know what other people are doing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely let us know. Maybe one day we can set aside an episode and just go through my collection. Because I own, like, not the whole movies, but just my Marvel collection.
Uh-huh.
Because I have one of those, it's probably like 5 foot, 5.5 foot tall, by like 3 feet wide, or 4 feet wide, full of movies. Two rows full of Marvel movies.
Oh, man.
It's a problem. It is a problem.
It's all right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Marvel Phase 3, Doctor Strange, gonna kick it off here.
Yeah.
Tilda Swinton has confirmed she's going to be the Ancient One, through her words. She doesn't know what gender she will play the role as.
Ooh, that would be kind of cool to kind of gender bend it a little bit. I mean, that's something that's been on the acting stage for a long time, you know, people playing different genders. So yeah. I don't think that shouldn't freak anybody out.
I don't think so. What we can take a look at is she was a male in Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, female in, I guess, Snowpiercer. Mm-hmm. You know, Grand Budapest Hotel. She was a very old lady.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's about the Ancient One's a title. Again, it's not a definitive person.
Yeah, maybe the Ancient One will kind of be more of a, like, a persona that maybe embodies different people and different lives. Maybe it'll be like, oh, in a past life I was a man, and in this life I'm a woman. Maybe it could be something like that.
It transcends what we know in the physical realm.
Transcends the transgender.
Oh my gosh. That was
transformative. But what else do we know about Doctor Strange?
Just confirmed, actually, I think it was today or yesterday, Rachel McAdams has confirmed that the rumors are there is talks for her to be in Doctor Strange.
Ooh, that's cool. Right now she's on the current season of True Detective, and she's been pretty good on that.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to see what she can do, go check out Mean Girls. I mean, that definitely is definitive Rachel McAdams material right there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, there's that. That's about it for Doctor Strange. They're filming, they talked about in the Screen Junkies interview with Peyton Reed, they sent Scott Derrickson off to London to prepare for the film.
Mm-hmm.
They'll start shooting in October, November. Really, really hoping D23 gives us a first look at Benedict Cumberbatch.
Man, right now we're just making hash marks on the wall like we're prisoners waiting for D23 to come out. I want that news.
It is pretty awesome. We're going to get to D23 actually here in a second, but I want to talk about Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out next March. It's Marvel's first movie of the year. That this week there was rumors that the Russo brothers had a Twitter account that was secretive and had some pictures on it that were like close-ups of things on the set of, you know, Civil War. A lot of people were like, Spider-Man? Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, it was like very close-up. So much so where like you almost wouldn't have to worry about any sort of like reveal of plot or giving anything away. It was just like they needed a macro lens. Some of this stuff got pretty blurry.
Yeah, and a lot of people were like, oh, Spider's their first look at Spider-Man. I mean, a lot of news stories picked it up, and, you know, I took a look at it. We have an image below. But James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, went and said, like, you know, that is false.
Yeah, this Twitter account is not real.
And it's not owned by the... If it is real, it's not owned by the Russo brothers. Mm-hmm. And that's something, you know, we can... You know, go with that. I trust James Gunn. Honestly, I think of all the Marvel directors, he's probably the most vocal about everything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he just he speaks the truth. Like, I don't think he lies to us.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a real down to earth guy. I like him. But a new set photo from Civil War shows Black Widow or Scarlett Johansson with short red hair.
Just Jared strikes again. This guy gets all these photos.
Yeah, he must like pay people for their photos, uh-huh. like on set, but. Or he's like a roadie for mm-hmm. Marvel films. Like, he just kind of goes and follows them around.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the Black Widow with short red hair in comics. Mm-hmm. She could go in hiding. She had long red hair in the first scenes they were filming.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like her hair is very much reflective of her, like, costume in the movie.
What do you mean?
Well, like, just like we have our major characters, like Iron Man tweaks his suit every film. Captain America gets a little different, like, of a costume.
Yeah.
Black Widow's hair will change the fit, you know, the feel, the vibe.
Yeah, and definitely, and this is, means this goes to show she had two hairstyles in this movie if this is what she's filming with.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she could, again, a big popular rumor is for the Civil War, the registration check, she has to go in hiding. And again, we've seen her multiple times in the comics with short red hair.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing drastic, nothing like mind blowing, but that's cool if that's true. And I'm ready for some Civil War footage. And you know where we're gonna see that Civil War footage?
Oh God, I hope I know where it is.
Where do you think it is?
Hopefully D23, man.
D23. We got some big news on that. They actually released what's going on at D23 mm-hmm. this week.
Oh, they did? Please let me know.
Yes, they did. First up, John Lasseter, I believe he, you know, is a big Pixar director, will be showing off a bunch of new footage from movies that Disney has lined up.
Oh, good.
Including Captain America Civil
yes.
War. So that's pretty exciting. I'm really excited. I mean, we get leaks out of Comic-Con, but I've never, ever seen a leak come out of D23.
Oh, yeah. They have that place locked to the ground because it's like, I believe, isn't it invite only for that panel?
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, we'll look into that. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but it's August 14th through the 16th. We have a little bit longer. We will have seen Fantastic Four by that point mm-hmm. in time. But they've released the schedule for the weekend, and it's pretty exciting that they're going to be showing that stuff off.
No. Well, what else are you going to be showing off?
They're also going to be showing off new Star Wars! Footage! Because we know Disney owns all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'm actually considering taking my honeymoon to Disney for like a week.
Oh man, that would, it sounds cliche, but it sounds fun as hell.
Yeah, especially, you know, at next year, it'll be a good year for that.
Maybe they'll have like some sort of Marvel present at the park by then. Because I've heard that too, you know. I've heard that D23, that they might be announcing theme park additions to their Disney parks, Disneyland and Disney World. Because I mean, who in their right mind would not want to go to a Marvel theme park?
I want to go so bad I can't see straight. And I know there's some of the parks are out in California near you that are more Marvel-based.
Uh-huh.
But I think Universal's losing their Marvel rights
Florida. They have, like, the Hulk ride. I think they have, like, a Spider-Man roller coaster and stuff. But, yeah, sounds like that those rights are going to revert back to Disney. And, man, they're gonna go balls to the wall.
Yes,
with a Marvel park, and I'm super excited to see what they come up with. I want to see like a giant animatronic, fully realistic Ultron, like just as like one of those props, like that you wait in line to see. Oh, that'd be so rad.
Yeah. Honestly, like the Iron Man suits walking around, like interactive Iron Man suits.
Oh, that would be cool. You know, like instead of like the Disney princesses walking around, you get Marvel characters.
Yeah, and like maybe they get like the Microsoft HoloLens stuff or like Oculus Rift, and you can pretend like you're Iron Man and some of like the rides.
That would be rad.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Marvel, these are all free ideas. Just give us fast passes to everything, please.
Yeah. So how close are you to Anaheim?
It's really not that far. Most people in LA can make it over to Anaheim pretty easily, depending on the traffic. But it's like 30 to 40 minutes. All depends on traffic, obviously.
Okay, well, you can go to you can actually buy tickets to D23.
Oh, shit. Maybe I'll give it a shot.
$74.
Oh, never mind.
For one day. 3 days, $216.
That definitely rivals the price of Comic-Con. That is definitely more expensive.
If you got them early, you could have got them for $61. Wow. Bucks. But apparently it's not invite only. But I think Disney members get cheaper
tickets. Well, we'll stick to what everyone else is going to do, and we'll just get the news the second that someone posts it on Twitter. So
I'm going to be scouring that like nothing.
Yeah,
else.
It kind of takes a lot of the effort that needed to go into getting this news kind of out the window. You know, we're not like a day zero news program. You get us on Mondays, and we're the roundup crew.
Yeah, and we do the best we can.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, this isn't superhero related, but other stuff they're going to show at D23 includes Pixar's upcoming The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually, I think, looks really weird. I don't know if you've seen the trailer to that.
Yeah, I've heard some people don't like the kind of cartoon dinosaurs and the kind of hyper-realistic landscape.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. The main character is a super cartoony-looking dinosaur, mm-hmm. But the landscape looks photorealistic. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly awesome. But it's like jolting at the same time.
Yeah, I'm almost curious. There's a very much an absence of dialogue in the movie, and I'm in the trailer, and I wonder if that's going to be the film. I wonder if it's going to be kind of like a film where there's no verbal communication.
They said the script is very, very, like, very low on actual, like, dialogue.
Oh, yes. So it will be sparse. Well, still, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I like that Pixar is doing these movies that aren't sequels now. You know, I really liked Finding Nemo, but I don't know how much I need to see Finding Dory.
Well, that's the next thing. They're actually going to be showing first footage of Finding Dory there. Which, I mean, Finding Nemo is one of the people hold that up as one of the better films.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Bugs Life and Monsters, Inc. fan,
yeah.
To be frank.
Yeah.
But Finding Dory, we'll see how that goes. They also have the first up for Disney Animation's Zootopia and Moana.
Oh, yeah. The Zootopia trailer was actually, I mean, it was very much a teaser trailer, but it was pretty interesting. It had, Jason Bateman is playing the fox character?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know if you've been watching BoJack Horseman, but anthropomorphized or anthropomorphic animals are just so easy to write jokes around because animals are just funny. You can just, you know, when you try to turn them into real people, it's just so easy, but it's just so funny. So I'm looking forward to that movie.
Yeah, I was very entertained by that. But we also have a couple other movies coming out at that same time frame. It looks like The Secret Lives of Cats and Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
Which looked entertaining as well, but so I mean I'm excited. It looks like a kind of a modern Looney Tunes, mm-hmm. almost.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. So D23 is going to be huge. I'm ready to check it out. That's 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. your time on that Friday. Mm-hmm. So we'll get it before the weekend's up. We will talk about it Sunday. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah. What was the what was that final date that we got when they're announcing all this stuff?
August 12th is the first day.
Oh, okay. So we got about three, it sounds like maybe 2 to 3 more episodes until we can cover it then.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, we'll have our Fantastic Four spoiler cast in the can by then.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that that's up in 2 weeks. Yeah. We'll have that one.
Yeah, I like how you say in the can because I have a feeling that's where the movie's going to go. Lower expectations. Lower the expectations, people. I think that's the best way we're going to enjoy this movie. Just pretend you're going to watch garbage on the screen, and then hopefully it'll cheer us all up when it's not garbage.
Yeah, we'll cross fingers. So, yeah, there's that. We're actually going to jump into Fox stuff to talk about this, actually.
Uh-huh.
This Fantastic Four is a great segue. We just missed it.
Oh,
well. Right, and tell us how bad our segues are. The first image of Blue Mystique has appeared for X-Men Apocalypse. Excuse mm-hmm. me. We've seen her in the official shots looking human-like, wearing some armor. You know, it's easier for Jennifer Lawrence to just be Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
But now she's down in blue herself. So we have a Blue Mystique coming back.
You just put this in the show because you wanted to say she blew herself.
I did. I actually, like, whenever they first started filming Days of Future Past and I was running Comic UI for the first time, one of my biggest clicks was Jennifer Lawrence blew herself. And it was just a gallery of her in the blue suit from behind the scenes. So, yeah, I've been working on that one. Thank you for noticing. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad we could include it in the show.
Yes, yes. X-Men's a popular thing, actually. We may get a crossover with Fantastic Four we've been talking about.
Yeah. Has that been confirmed?
it has been confirmed by Bryan Singer that there are plans to see where the X-Men Fantastic Four thing goes.
Yeah, and then when you hear that news, go ahead and realize that they have canned the 3D conversion of Fantastic Four. They threw out, or they never decided to put in end credit scenes. This is just not a good sign for Fantastic Four. That it's just like
it's not fitting into the mold of what we have come to expect of superhero films.
Yeah, and it seems like, and okay, you can say like, oh, it's a good thing they're not fitting in the mold. They're trying to be different. I think you got to be in this mold a little bit if you're going to turn it into a franchise. There's kind of some legwork that you got to put in before you can connect it to a universe. So.
There are expectations you have to meet to get people involved and say take it seriously.
Man, I'm worried, man. But like I said, lower those expectations. But I'm going to be seeing that movie opening weekend, so we can talk about it. So I have no choice. I have no option. I cannot vote with my wallet on this one. I have to go see it.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I would like to see a Fantastic Four that fits the Ultimate Fantastic Four, which I'm familiar with. And honestly, do they need a crossover with the X-Men? No. I think they exist well on their own. I know Fox wants to be Marvel, but I don't think they need to cross over with the X-Men. I've never seen a good Fantastic Four X-Men crossover. Like, I've seen a couple in the comics, but nothing I'm like clamoring to have on my movie shelf.
Yeah, I think the problem is that when you kind of mix the Fantastic Four and X-Men together, there's really it's very much a blending of just more powers. I mean, if you kind of look at the Fantastic Four, obviously they got their powers through science, but I mean, all their powers are very much like mutant-ish powers. Like, you know, we already have like mutants that kind of do almost everything they do, with the exception of maybe stretchy. I don't know if I've seen a stretchy mutant before. So it's just kind of like, you know, what makes it unique that when they're added together? Because basically you have a Fantastic Four team and an X-Men team. I think I'd still like to see the movie. I think X-Men needs the Fantastic Four down the line. You know, you can only harp on mutants movies like so much. You need to kind of bring in fresh meat, which is something that they're kind of clawing for because Fox only has X-Men and Fantastic Four. They don't have anybody else. You know, they couldn't get Spider-Man. I think I almost would like to see Spider-Man go both ways. I'd like to see Spider-Man and the X-Men. I think that would be cool. But we're obviously not going to see that. But yeah,
I would much rather see an Avengers versus X-Men movie.
Oh, that would be rad.
We've got Batman versus Superman. We've got kind of Civil War. But what happens when, you know, they're put up against each other? Whoa. I think that would be interesting.
What if we get that in Phase 4? What if somehow all these superhero studios decide to play nice, and at the end of Phase 4 we get that summer comic book event of Avengers versus X-Men? Oh, that'd be crazy.
It would be. Cool. It would totally be. Because I think, again, like, I don't think, I mean, Fox has Fantastic Four and X-Men, but they're not pulling from, they're pulling from the same pool of stuff when they definitely have a Deadpool to pull from. They've got other characters that can hold their own, and I think they're just choosing not to use them.
This brings up a good question, because I think when I was looking at the Fantastic Four trailer, it very much looked like modern day. I mean, it didn't look like any sort of a period piece from a different decade. So if we have Fantastic Four and what it looks like Deadpool taking place in the present day, how the hell does X-Men catch up? You know, are we just going to age these characters by a decade every new movie? You know, because if the next X-Men movie is going to be in the 80s, are we going to get one more X-Men movie in the 90s? And then how are they going to fast forward through all these decades and age all these characters appropriately? I feel like someone's going to have to time travel at some point in time to fit this all together, you know?
I can see that. But also at the same time, First Class was in the 60s and Apocalypse is in the 80s, 20 years apart, and they're still, you know, looking pretty close.
Yeah, I'm just curious where the movie magic comes in and makes me believe.
They're mutants. They do what they want.
Yeah, I guess. I that's kind of been my biggest question. I've brought that up every episode we've talked about these X-Men Fox franchises connecting is the timeline. But
I think Fantastic Four has to do the legwork to actually say mutants exist in their world. Because, I mean, it doesn't look like, you know, the science stuff. Like, why aren't they working more on mutant stuff?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see when Fantastic Four hits on August 7th, which we will both apparently go see.
Let us know if you're excited for Fantastic Four. I want to know if anyone else is trying my strategy of lowering expectations.
I think we all are. Yeah. I think we all have pretty low expectations. Another movie I have low expectations for, actually, is Gambit. Uh-huh. I'm not really that excited for it. Like I've said, I don't think he works on his own. I think we all have a, what's that, kind of rose-tinted glasses towards how we felt about Gambit in the 90s.
You mean a cyclops-tinted glasses? Oh!
Oh, those are quartz, actually, oh. Believe that or not.
Damn.
Damn the science behind those mutants. But they have confirmed that it's filming in October.
Oh, okay, so we can expect those on-set creep shots towards Halloween.
Yes, a cast list was leaked this weekend, like a casting call, uh-huh. But it was vague. There's nothing pertinent on
okay.
it, but that it is filming in October.
Okay, well, cool. We like getting those set photos because I think we know jack about this movie, so it'll be interesting to see where they start filming, if this is going to be like kind of a southern Louisiana-based movie in Cajun country or not.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm sure it's probably out there on that casting call. I didn't look.
I mean, it makes total sense. All these movies are being filmed down there in Georgia now, so the closer they are to the South, the more authentic it's going to look anyway.
That's true. And especially, I mean, you need a lot of the character things said they need to speak French,
mm-hmm.
Pretty fluently French. So it's interesting.
Ooh, down by the bayou.
Another, I mean, hopefully it's actually like a sequel to The Waterboy. that would definitely make my day. But no, seriously, another. Some are believing that Channing Tatum's Gambit will take over Hugh Jackman's Wolverine as Fox's leading mutant.
Oh,
if this works.
Wow. Good luck.
I definitely think that's shit.
We definitely wish you luck, but you're gonna need it.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman has grown so much into his role over the years. Because if you go back and watch X-Men 1, it's there, but it's not fully there. Yeah. And it's taken him, you know, over a decade to get there. Yeah.
You know, I'm starting to accept the idea that eventually Wolverine is going to get recast. And I'm starting to get there. At first, I didn't think it was possible, but you know, since we've got the announcement that he's retiring from the role, you know, a couple weeks ago, it's starting to sink in. I think I can concede to the idea of getting a new Wolverine and being okay with it. I just hope that they cast someone perfect for it.
Yeah, and I think they will. Fox is making better choices as we go, mm-hmm. As you can tell by the quality of the X-Men films. And honestly, Deadpool trailer, I'm pretty psyched for that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but yes, Gambit is filming in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're down there and want to be in the movie, go cool. go try it out.
Well, you just brought out the Deadpool trailer. Do we have any more news on that? Because we're what now, a week away from our Deadpool count.
Yeah, a week away. The first trailer was classified this week.
Okay.
Classifications. All trailers have to be rated and reviewed before they can be submitted, just like the movie does, to find out where they can go. The first trailer is actually a PG trailer, which is definitely not the one we saw at Comic-Con, which is okay. If it's not that trailer exactly, that's fine.
Yeah, I that's the thing. That's what I brought up the other week. It's okay for them to show different trailers at Comic-Con because those people deserve the exclusive for standing in line, but they need to prepare to come out with another trailer for the public to stop all these cam and pirating and stuff. You got to satiate the public with all the hype that comes out of Comic-Con. So.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even say like you don't have to combat the cams. I think you have to play off the hype. I mean, if you're trending on Twitter from Comic-Con, like give people who aren't there something that want to trend on that thing, you know, to follow
exactly
and look at. And I think, you know, this PG trailer for Deadpool, which is amazing that they're able to pull that off, is a 2.5 minutes, which is average trailer length. And if it's classified, I mean, Batman was classified, that trailer came out like the next couple days, so that means it's getting close. We're probably going to get it this week. I'm going to send this week.
Yeah, I have a feeling that most trailers try to be classified as low rating as possible because they want it to play everywhere they can. They want to put it on TV. They want to put it before the Minions movie. You know, I'm not saying that's where it is, but they want to put it in front of as many eyes as possible. And even though it is rated R, I mean, can you imagine how many kids are going to be sneaking into this Deadpool movie that aren't old enough?
Not enough.
Oh man, I can't, because it's, you have to be, what is it, 16 or 17 to get into a rated R film.
Rated R is, I think it's 16 without a parent, because there's NC-17.
Oh, man, yeah. Is above that. Can you just imagine? Like, I would be I don't know what I would do if I was like 14 years old and the Deadpool movie came out and I couldn't go see it. I would just be like, no, I've been able to see every other superhero movie except for this movie. And then like your parents probably don't care. They don't know who Deadpool is. So you're just like, no. So there's going to be a rash of kids sneaking in the movie. I think next February or the February when this movie rolls out, if we have any younger listeners that are trying to go see this movie and they're not old enough, I want to know about their crazy hijinks of trying to get into this film.
Yeah. Fun fact, rated R films, according to AMC, is under 17 requires an accompanying parent or adult, which is age 21 or older, and 25 under must show ID, but no children under the age of 6 are allowed after 6 p.m.
Oh, sorry, 6-year-olds.
Yeah, you can't watch Deadpool, so go home and cry to your little Deadpool doll.
Read some comic books. It's going to be much more violent, probably, than the movie's going to be.
You know, the more I think about it, we have at least 1 week to listen. I bet it comes out with Fantastic Four. They're both Fox properties.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
I think they're both going to be Fox. It's going to be there. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun fact. Last bit of news we got here at the end of the show is a movie called Dead Seven coming out. This by Asylum, which is, I believe, where your wife works?
Yes, the company that makes all the Sharknado films.
They're doing a zombie Western futuristic horror film starring the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, some members of both.
Oh, man. I'm kind of looking forward to this. You know, my wife had a chance to meet... She's going to kill me, but I don't even really remember which one it is. I think it was a Backstreet Boy because she was excited because I think she doesn't like NSYNC. I don't know.
It was Nick Carter, wasn't it?
I think so. Like,
it was Backstreet Boy. It was Backstreet Boy.
Girls growing up in the 90s very much had to pick a side and stick with it, and I think she picked Backstreet Boys. But yeah, but she got to meet him, and she said he was really nice. So it sounds like it's going to be a fun movie. It doesn't sound like anyone's like too high and mighty thinking that they're creating some sort of work of art. But I think this could be fun. It sounds like it could be goofy. And then it's nice that boy band people are going to be like not taking themselves seriously, even though they used to think they were golden gods probably. But I think Justin Timberlake is not going to be in this.
Yeah, it's sporadic members of both groups. And I think other, like, they're talking about adding like some new kids on the block and other, like, you know, 90s boy bands. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's very much like Marvel versus DC from the 90s.
Yeah.
Like if we were Backstreet Boys fans, it's all the news you'd hear from us, or and a really occasional sprinkling of NSYNC. But yeah, it's funny how times change and allegiances change.
I think we'll keep covering this because I like the idea of where this film's going, and then plus we can pull in my wife every once in a while and see what she can share from stories around the office with this film coming out. Of course, whatever is legally able to leave the studio.
Whatever binding agreement is there. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's actually our news for the week, surprisingly enough. We actually got 57 minutes in.
Yeah, hey, we rounded out that hour.
We did. So you have something special you want to kind of do here at the end.
Yeah, man. I think the best way to encourage people to go on iTunes and review our podcast, like we always ask you to do, is to shout out the people that actually do it. We had a review this week from username Super Skier that says, if you're looking for a podcast that explores the world of comic book movies with intelligent discussion and opinions, look no further. They have a looser format that leads to interesting tangents. I can agree with that, but but it's always in good fun. So I think that's awesome. If you guys want to go review the show on iTunes, we will definitely give you guys a shout out and read your nice words.
Also, I'm going to throw in YouTube. If you leave us a comment on YouTube and it's, you know, appropriate, that's okay by us, we'll read it as well.
Yeah, we'll craft a little shout out section to the end of the show. But yeah, I think that
it'll be in a loose format, like Super Skier says.
Yeah, very very loose. But yeah, I thought that was really really cool. So you know, we're here at the end of the show. If they wanted to follow you around, Chris, on the internet, you know, stalk you as if you were starting to film a movie, how would they find you?
Well, if they want to get my information, they can go on Twitter at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N. I post my Instagram stuff there, so you can check that out.
Cool.
You can follow my Instagram, I guess, but just get on Twitter. Also, Comic UI, write for Comic UI. You can go to news.comicui.com or check out our Facebook page. Just search Comic UI, and you can get all the news and stuff and fun things there and whatnot and so forth. Mike.
Yeah.
Is that your name?
Yeah, I think so. Last I checked.
All right. Well, good, because I want people to be able to spell it correctly when they're following you. Where can they do that at?
Is that an example of a tangent that comes from our looser format?
Not really. That's just me like trying to be witty and failing horribly.
Okay. Well, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter and Instagram. And as always, you can head over to pickledcomics.com and read my webcomic. I had some technical difficulties in the past week or two with some Adobe software, but I will have a new comic up next week for you guys to read. But as always, as I use that phrase a lot towards the end of the show, you can visit superheroslate.com, and that's where you can get the links to all of our outlets where we post our show. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Tumblr, we're on SoundCloud, we're on iTunes. Oh, gee, golly, we're everywhere. You can even subscribe with your email address and get us directly in your inbox. So, and I think that the best avenue... maybe not the best visual avenue is to go to YouTube, where Chris works really hard putting up these super professional crafted videos. And I can say professional because you are a professional video guy.
Thank you. Yes, I do put some work in them, and I use industry standard software to get it done. I'm not, you know, Windows Movie Maker shit.
We put love and care to everything we put out there, folks.
We do. What I would like to say is we share our videos on Facebook. So if you find us on Facebook, you know, Superhero Slate, give us a like. And if you're not followed on YouTube, you can actually watch the video from YouTube in Facebook.
Yeah, easily Facebook's is the best place to find us. If we ever enraged some sort of part of the public and we needed to post an apology, we would probably post it on Facebook.
Yeah, that'd be the first place I go.
Yeah. But, yeah, I hope you guys like the episode, and definitely check in next week. Hopefully we'll be getting a Deadpool soon, and in a couple more weeks we got D23.
Yep, and don't forget to email us any questions or comments you have. We like to do user segments. We haven't had any this week, but email us your questions or thoughts to superheroslate@gmail.com.
Ooh, yeah, let's round out the show. I need to go pee-pee.
Yeah, I need to go to the bathroom too, so it's been about an hour. So, all right, guys, we will catch you next week.
All right, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe!